Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Bob, who is here to speak with us about his experience of practicing with Bamboozle 10 Permanence. Welcome, Bob.
Hey, Jen.
Yeah. You there?
Got me there?
Oh, I can
hear you.
Can you hear me,
Jen?
Great. I don't know if I went out or you went out, but I couldn't hear you, and now I can.
Okay.
Did you hear your welcome?
I did, but then I was unmuted a couple seconds later, but I'm here now.
Okay, that's all that matters. You're here now. I was just thinking, gosh, I truly can't believe that we just completed Bamboozle number 10. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, and the thing that I liked about this one, really about the whole thing, is that it's a continuous practice engagement with the rest of the Sangha the entire year, every week.
Yes. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So fun. Yep. Yeah, so tell us about what it was like practicing with this one.
Well, like I've often heard people say, and it's often my experience, is I feel like this one was written for me. And because, you know, there's a conditioning I've seen for years, you know, which is how it is now is how it's always going to be. That's the message I get from my conditioning.
Uh-huh.
And so the thing that I just loved about this set of assignments, and all of them really, was that rather than focus on that conditioning, this really directed me to, one, you know, to have an experience and kind of check out what was that experience, mm-hmm. to really focus on what is true and what works, and mm-hmm. and just in that in general, just having a focus for directing the attention on this particular assignment mm-hmm. and this focus.
Oh, that's so interesting that if I'm tracking what you're saying, that you really felt like there was an invitation, especially in this particular Bamboozle, that yes, okay, so there's what conditioning does. And there's how it's trying to, you know, get us to believe that how it is now is how it's always going to be and probably always has been. But there was somehow for you an invitation in this one to really, instead of focusing on that, to get to practice focusing attention and put it where you want to be, where you want it to be.
Yeah, to put it where I want it to be, to actually check out what actually is my experience. So when conditioning is saying, you know, you don't have time to take a walk most days at lunch, and then I do it, and I find out I actually do have, because I mostly take a walk at lunch every day now, and it has not impacted my ability to achieve anything else in my life. It's made my life much, much better.
That is just, that right there is so huge, isn't it? Wow. And especially the way it starts. You don't have time to take a walk at lunch most days. You know, this, you, it's talking to you about your life, you know, coming up, making conclusions that we're never supposed to question, right? And that's just how it is. And there's that always, you know, that's how it's always going to be, you know, the permanence piece of it. And then you have the practice to question that and go, well, let me just have a direct experience. And then do it and find out, well, I actually can most days.
Yeah. And one of the things I love about it is that once I've had that experience, that mm-hmm. story is no longer believable. You know,
yes,
so
exactly.
I just got some guidance about trying out something, mm-hmm. which was going to require me to stop for 5 minutes every hour or two and to kind of just mm-hmm. breathe and just be. And, you know, immediately conditioning came in with, well, we don't have time for that. How can you stop in the middle of, how can you possibly?
Right.
But because I've now had this experience of,
exactly.
okay, I know that process. So let's set aside that process and let's just assume that with this different content, it's going to have the same outcome as my experience was.
Yes, exactly. So both on the content level, right? So in the case of the walk, it really, you know, you have a much better life experience when you get to be outdoors and move the body and all that during in the middle of your day. And that because you've seen through the process of questioning what conditioning tells you and not believing it and getting to have your own experience, it transfers all over the place to other contents in your life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing in these assignments is that I really enjoyed the one around procrastination. Procrastination, you know, the more I've practiced around it, what seems clear is that conditioning wants me to put off doing something so that I don't find out that I don't need to put off doing things.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking too. Yeah. So good. It's just like the walk and the 5 minutes, isn't it?
Yeah. Because it's like here's all of life, all this possibility and all these ways to be engaged with it. And that's what conditioning is trying to keep me from doing, is being engaged with life. And yet it gets put out there as, well, whatever the reason is, I don't have enough time, we're going to do it later, oh, we have time for that later. And, you know, none of that is ever really kind of borne out. And the truth is that if I'm willing to set aside that conditioning once again and practice, what if I do what the guidance is, what the assignment is, and be here and engage in life, you know, I get to see, whoa. So the benefit of doing that is I get to be here and engage with life and not be in that conversation about why I can't do it.
Yes, and the energy builds so much in that, doesn't it?
Yeah, the energy builds. I was just sitting here before the call, just kind of sitting with all this, and the gratitude builds. You know, it's like, I have this incredible life that it's like, you know, I realize that I'm in a position that a lot of people in the world aren't in. And what a shame it would be if I let conditioning keep me from leading that life.
Yes. Oh, my gosh, in so many ways. And that very process that you describe of, well, you know, you can do it later, or, you know, you don't have time for it, or whatever would have us be, say, in a process of procrastination, is the way that it's going to siphon off the energy, keep all of that life force from you, keep that amazing potential of a life that's there for you, and pull it all for it.
Yeah. And it's just so fun to have these assignments and to be encouraged, you know, mm-hmm. by practice with the rest of the Sangha to kind of check it out for myself. And get to have this experience that is, you know, always 180 degrees in the opposite direction of what conditioning tells me it's going to be.
Right. And it's so funny, isn't it, Bob? Because, you know, with what you started out, you know, conditioning is always telling us, you know, this is how it is, and this is how it's always been, and this is how it will always be. You know, kind of gunning for that permanence in a way, that feeling of control, you know, wanting to hang on to things, wanting to push things away. And that when we find a willingness through practice to let that go and be here in the constantly changing now, then, my gosh, our life experience just opens up to one of that gratitude that you're talking about for it takes me to the current bamboozle, to the, you know, miracles in everything of everyday life.
Yeah. And there's another piece of that, which is that getting to have that experience of kind of showing up here for life allows me to actually not really be successful in life, but to be fully engaged with life, to have, you know, the best possible chance of being here.
Yes.
You know, because conditioning is always trying to, like, okay, well, we've committed to do this thing, but let's actually not be here while we're doing this thing. And then that thing goes off the rails, and then conditioning gets to say, told you so.
Exactly.
But in fact, you know, you get to, you know, when I'm willing to kind of be here after I've made that choice to, like, engage with something, then I got to have that experience of, wow, this is really fun. This
exactly.
It's rewarding. It's energizing. It's joyful. Mm-hmm. It's all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm, that is so key. That is so key. So when we're present to it, we actually get to receive it. And that the way it can, yeah, it's so true, isn't it? So, oh, God, I want to do the dishes. The dishes are terrible. And I'm fine, okay, I'll do the dishes, right? All right. But meanwhile, I'm, quote, doing the dishes, but I'm not really, right? What I'm doing is I'm being engaged in a conversation with conditioned mind, which is miserable. And so I finish those stupid dishes. And see, I hate the dishes. But when there's that surrendering to, okay, I'm going to do the dishes. Let's be present with the dishes. What we find out is it's completely joyful. And we actually get to receive the experience.
Yeah, which is perfect because I was just up at the monastery, as you know. And I was not really required to do dishes, but I know how much fun that is. And rather than be, I heard that conversation start to start up, well, you're not really on kitchen duty. You don't have to blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, my experience is that when I do it, I'm just overjoyed. I'm filled with energy and excitement. So why not?
I just have the biggest smile on my face because that is everything right there, isn't it? That is the biggest possible yes to life. Well, I don't have to. I mean, no one told me. It's not my obligation. And to come around to a place in life where I want to participate because it's all for me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So big.
Exactly.
Hmm. Wow. Well, we are at the hour, Bob. So anything else you wanted to add in before we turn it over to Michael and Sherry?
Well, I just being in this conversation, I'm just excited about doing Bamboozle number 11 because this one's been so much fun.
I know. Me too. Yeah. And we're just going to have to, it's kind of like the Making a Change for a 30-day retreat, right? Come December, we finish the last one, just start again. just get deeper and deeper. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Thanks so much for being with us, Bob.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And Michael, with that, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Bob. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fabulous. Just absolutely fabulous. And a huge part of that fabulosity, first of all, I was laughing out loud. I love that interview. And when Bob talked about, the voices are working so hard to get us to procrastinate so we don't find out there's no reason to procrastinate. It was just, it's just one of those perfect moments of, oh, my God, yes, that's exactly how it works and what it's doing all the time. And then, of course, the next piece, you don't actually know this yet, but we're doing strategic planning at the monastery right now for the coming year. And what Bob and Jen, who are both in that meeting, were talking about is exactly what next year is going to be focused on. Now, I don't know if that's coincidence or they just came out of that so inspired. They just couldn't help themselves. It's not like it's a secret. It's not a secret. So if anybody wants to know what's going to happen next year, just listen to that conversation. And they just laid it out perfectly because this is where we are as a Sangha. This is the place and this is the launch pad for another phenomenal year of practice. So it's a very exciting time. And one other thing, in addition to that, there are those days, and every day is a lovely day, right? Whatever is going on every day is a lovely day. But there are some days that are so perfect. So, physically, not my, not what I'm doing or what's happening to me or even, Michael, larger than me, okay?
Wow.
A day where everything, it's just the temperature, the colors, the it's just so exquisitely beautiful that it almost hurts, you know, to be present to it in that, you know, heart achingly beautiful kind of a way. This is one of those days.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
I bet it is where you are too, isn't it? Was it just
it's gorgeous.
Supremely gorgeous? Yeah.
Gorgeous. Lovely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that's me. What about you?
That yes, I loved that conversation with Jen and Bob, and I loved that what I'm going to remember as the dishes inspiration at the end of the
yes.
conversation there. And it, what I was getting out of that is just Bob just decided to cut off that conversation about
yes,
whether
get out of the conversation. Remember that when I'm present, I love everything.
Yes.
Right? And go do the dishes and have a good time. That's it. You got it. You pick.
Yes.
You pick the magic one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have announcements here.
All right. Well, I'm eager to hear what they are because we are shockingly close to the end of the year, aren't we? Do we have any more things happening?
Well, listen up. You ready?
Buckle your seatbelt.
Buckle your seatbelt because Stop, Drop, and Text encourages mindfulness in daily life. So sign up now for the next 4-week session starting November 21st. The limited number of spaces in this popular program are filled on a first-come, first-served basis.
Yeah, that it truly is limited, isn't it? Because it's so one-on-one.
Yeah.
Everybody who participates gets to be in direct contact with a facilitator. So that's exciting. All right, November 21st.
Yes, starting November 21st.
Okay. All right. Okay. What else? What else?
Do you have a favorite quote from Sherry's responses in the current email class on communication? If so, send it to peacequotes@livingcompassion.org to be shared with Sangha through the Daily Peace Quotes program.
Oh, now that's a new wrinkle. I hadn't heard of that before.
Yes, yes.
That's very fun. I know I certainly have fun writing them, so I've... That's nice to think they have a life beyond that little class.
Yes. Great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And our annual New Year's retreat in Menlo Park, California, in the San Francisco Bay Area, features meditation, group discussions, yoga, and guidance with you, Sherry.
It's open for registration.
It must be.
It must be.
We're
hearing
it
about it.
I certainly hope so.
Wow.
This popular retreat, which runs from December 27th to January 1st, is a great way to celebrate a year of awareness practice and ring in a new beginning with Sangha.
Yes, it is. We can both attest it is a good time, isn't it?
That's
I
great.
Love that one. Yeah.
Yes. And for these and other practice opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And a reminder that we are on Bamboozle number 11, which is content versus process, and the assignment for week one.
And the timing of that. I mean, the timing of life is just so exquisite, it just makes you want to cry. So in this email class, of course, everything is processed content, right? So just over and over and over again, we're all looking at how caught up we get in content and in the whole beliefs and assumptions and conditioned mind and how, you know, he said that and she did that and they did that. And then we start looking at the process of it. How is all of it, not what's happening, but how is all of this happening? So, you know, once again, the Bamboozles are just going right along with us.
Yes, yes, they are. Can I make a quick comment about the email class?
Please, please.
The second assignment, looking at communication with someone that's challenging for me.
Mm-hmm.
What I loved about your responses is I felt like I was getting a lens, because that assignment was a challenge for me. And so your responses were sort of, each one was a slightly different lens on the same issue. And so I just love that because, you know, I can get hundreds, dozens of different looks at the same thing, which really helps
yes.
me to get a chance to have some clarity on it.
Yes, which is the power of Sangha, isn't it, Michael?
Yes.
You know, we could all be in some kind of one-on-one relationship with some wise person, and I'm sure it would be wonderful. We'd love it, and we'd get what we get. But when you're doing it with hundreds of people, it's just the chance to see so much more is ours, and the benefit is just immeasurable, as you say. So. You know, when you talk about like the New Year's retreat, and this is something that, you know, we're always encouraging people toward, it's wonderful to be at home doing practice. Thank goodness we have the technology that we can be together around the world doing the same kind of practice offering. But to be together in the same room where you're not just reading it or hearing it, you're just together, taking it in through every pore in your body. It's such a powerful experience. So anytime we can get with Sangha in any way and have a shared awareness experience, we're just very silly if we don't avail ourselves of it. And especially if we listen to voices that say, oh, you can't do that. You're not ready for that. You don't belong there. You won't understand. You don't know as much as they do. They won't like you. They won't want you there. You can't afford that. You don't have time for that. Any of those things, we know that that's the voice in the head that really wants us to stay in suffering. And we just don't listen to that voice. We might hear it, but we don't do what it says. We don't take advice from it.
Yes. Yes. Great.
Yeah.
Great.
All right. Thank you. I bet we might have callers too at some point, huh?
We do.
You can ever get me to unwind here. Wind down.
And so yes, if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, press *6 and then 1 to make a show, and a focus on one topic and 5 minutes is great. And so I think we are ready, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome.
Hello.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
I think I'm the one. It's confirmed. I can't quite tell if I'm really on the air, but my name's David. Yes, you're David?
Well, David, you are, but you sound very, very far away. Are you on speaker or through your computer or something like that?
Let me try to get a little better. Hang on a second. Is that clearer?
It is. It's much better.
Oh, terrific. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Welcome. How are you? What's going on?
Well, thanks so much. I'll tell you how I am and just find out what you think. I have read, There's Nothing Wrong With You. And I've also been listening to, I think, your newest book that's out on, you made a recording of, and I can't remember, something like Unconditional something. Sorry. But it's on my iPhone. That's what I can't remember its name because I don't really see the title.
I can't remember them either, David. It all runs together at a certain point. It's okay. Anyway, you listen to my voice a lot.
Well, lately I have. And I just was at a retreat at IMS, which is, maybe you know, in Barre, Massachusetts, Insight Meditation
Society. I do.
Yep, and I've sat there a lot, and I went to sit my first long course, which was 6 weeks, and after 7 days or 6 or 7 or 8 days, I was so overwhelmed by fear. This is a serious question, and I was so overwhelmed by fear and really afraid for my well-being. And and I was having this super volatile experience, and I decided that the course wasn't going to work for me because I was too concerned about staying mentally well. I've had years of depression, and I thought, oh, this is going to be going right there. And I had a very good friend who was one of the teachers on the course and did all kinds of things to try to bring my energy back down and calm me down. But I ultimately concluded that it wasn't the right container, the silent container, and I'm home now, and I'm doing my course, my work at home. I'm taking the next 4 weeks that I would be sitting at INS, and I'm sitting at home. I wondered if you have any thoughts. I have some ideas, but I know there's probably a lot to dig into there, but really just feared for my mental health while I was sitting in retreat, and that has never come up for me like that before, but I also never tried to sit alone course before.
I've talked to, as you can imagine, a lot of meditators over the last 35 or 40 years. And one of the common themes, they'll find out what I do, and they'll say, oh, I used to meditate. And, of course, I'm always interested in I used to meditate. And so I'll ask them what happened. And very often what they'll say is, well, you know, I really loved it. And then I got to this place where every time I sat down, I would just go into such a state of terror that I just got to the point where I just couldn't do it any longer.
Yeah.
And, of course, that makes me really sad because it doesn't have to be that way. It very often is that way if we don't have a practice, a structure, a process for understanding what's going on. So you've read and listened to me enough now to know that I'm a big proponent of structures, of frameworks, of seeing how something works. So so I spent most of my adult life building houses and remodeling houses and buildings and that sort of thing. And the importance of understanding how things go together there is, well, we can just imagine, you know, you just don't want to get a hammer and some nails and a bunch of boards and a saw and think you're going to build, I guess you could build a house, but probably nothing you'd want to live in. And the same thing is true, I think, of human beings. You know, there are ways for us to understand how we are put together so that when we have certain experiences, what happens with us is we can say, oh, okay, yeah, I can see that. So, of course, I talk a lot with people about the voices in the head. And for many people, until they encounter there's nothing wrong with you, or although it's gotten kind of mainstream over the last 20 years, but a lot of people don't realize that they're listening to a conversation inside their head. They think, I'm thinking. But as soon as it's presented to them, and they start looking at it from the perspective of, I'm listening to a conversation, they get it. Oh, that is what's happening. I'm not saying those things. I'm not thinking those things. I'm listening to them. So there's a voice in there saying, you know, you're an idiot. Why do you do these things? And the person goes, right, I didn't say that. I heard it, and I felt bad. Now, why did I feel bad? So now we're in a process of exploration that can be really helpful. And fear is exactly the same thing. So from the way I talk about it, fear is the experience of believing that we're separate from life.
Right.
And that's a unique ability that human beings have. We have the ability to experience ourselves as separate from life. As far as we can tell, we're the only critters who are able to do that. And it is our joy and it is our sadness, right? Because if we realize that that being separate from life is an illusion, that's a joyful experience. If we believe that we're separate from life, that's a suffering experience. And so if we start looking at ego as the structure that keeps that illusion alive,
mm-hmm.
and if we begin to realize that when that feeling that we label fear comes up, what's actually happening is that that ego, that illusion of separation, is actually controlling our life experience. So sit down. Go ahead. You want to say something there?
Yeah, I want to say something there. I understand everything you're saying. And
good.
I read the book and thought, wow, this book is saying exactly what I'm experiencing. And especially I remember near the end of the book, there's a part where you have this conversation about I used to love meditation, and now I don't like it anymore because stuff keeps coming up. That, you know, that's part of the dialogue in the book, and I'm like, holy cow, this is happening to me right now.
Yes.
And
yeah,
but what I'm experiencing, and maybe I feel there's also something happening on a physiological level. There's a nervous system overwhelm occurring. And
yes,
in that experience, I can't tell what comes first. Is it the nervous system overwhelm that's starting, or is it the conversation by conditioning that's starting first? It feels to me like, I guess what happens is there's a nervous system overwhelm happening, and then this conditioned response of thinking begins and starts telling me a story like, you're not going to be able to handle
it. Yeah, and it's probably much more subtle, and it really doesn't matter. So if we could figure out, does the chicken come first or the egg come first, what would we actually have? So what is true, it seems like to me, for you, is what now?
Exactly.
Okay. So now, you know, you practice, and so we're interested in practice, right? So I don't know where I wrote this, but somewhere I was talking, probably in the fear book, talking about having a panic attack. And lying on the floor, stretch out my arms and legs and lie there and just feel the sensations in the body, okay? And it's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever, you probably have had panic attacks. It's kind of like, sticking a nail into a 240 socket and holding on to it, right? And if you just keep lying there, it will pass. Now, what happens to almost everybody is the voices in the head start screaming, you're going to die, you're going to die, you're going to die. Stop it. Do something about this. People panic even more, and they start, you know, running around doing all of the things that are just making it, the whole thing worse. And the good news and the bad news about this is that what is left to us is finding the willingness and the courage to stay still through whatever is happening. Because here's the thing. You won't die of it.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Great. So I hear that. I also wondered about there's really more than one question, and I want you guys to just guard the time, so you can just let me know when my time is up, because I'm really interested in this, and I could talk about this for a while.
Right, although nobody will stop us, David. We're on our own, so we have to take responsibility for ourselves. It's like Michael's not going to, you know, flip a switch and cut us off or anything, so we'll be responsible, and we can continue the conversation, too, but go ahead and ask me what it is.
Thank you so much. First of all, I'd like to ask, and I heard you on Terry Gross, I heard you also Insights at the Edge recently in an interview talking about your own study of your own process for learning how to relate to depression. And I have this fear on this retreat that I was going to spiral into a clinical depression. which
now can I interrupt you right there, David? And,
yeah.
And I'll give you what I think is a salient piece of information. We don't do 6 week silent sits.
Who doesn't?
And it's not an accident.
Oh, you mean you're
in our practice? We don't do that.
Yeah.
And it's not an accident. It's not like we forgot to do it.
You know, I'm
not going to go into any arguments against doing that. I just want to point out to you that we don't do that.
Well,
if I thought it were a good idea for people, I would be a great proponent. I don't think it's a good idea.
Well, that's exactly where I was landing in my own experience, which is it was just the energetic experience of sitting. I've sat many, many 7, 8, 9 day courses, and in that experience of the 7, 8, or 9 day course, the energy in the body, the energy of the nervous system, the focus and magnification in the mind are quite potent, and I recognize that some people have a huge bandwidth for going beyond into 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, but I just saw that my system needed a recalibration and needed to step away.
Yeah.
And
do you do yoga? Do you do yoga?
I don't. I do Qigong, but I don't do yoga. I should.
Okay. Well, I have this theory about yoga, that most of the people who really like yoga are extension people.
That's true.
They have bodies that just simply like that activity. It feels really good to them, and they're really happy, and they can just do all kinds of extraordinary things. But that's not true for everybody. So if I were you, I would just not worry about it. It seems to me you have reached a place where you want to do a different kind of exploration of what's going on with you. Now, down the road, when you feel like you've overcome the fear and you're really excited about practicing in new and different ways, and you think, I would like to sit for 30 days and just see what happens to me, you can do that. But it's not a contest. You know, it's awareness practice. It's not, there's no, it has to be done this way. And you're the right person if you do it this way, and you're the wrong person if you do it. The Buddha never said any of that.
Well, I know.
Don't let the voices do that to you.
Well, I have learned that the whole style of the 6 week or the 3 month retreat is something that's really only been around for about a century. And as far as I know, it started in Burma. Some of the stuff that started about a century ago.
Yeah.
So I know
my teacher used to talk about the artichoke school of enlightenment. Somebody awakens while eating an artichoke and decides that all people need to do is eat enough artichokes, and sooner or later they're going to awaken.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah, I completely appreciate that perspective, and it's one I'm just settling into as I'm realizing, like, you know, it's a Theravada, maybe I really love those people. And
let's not go there. Okay.
Yeah,
if you want to look into fear and getting to the other side, I think we can assist you. I think we can. And so let me give you just a little tiny bit of homework, and it'll fit right in with what you've already been doing. And that is to just keep an eye on the sensations that are happening in your body. Notice what the labels are that you put on those sensations, and practice having the sensations without any label or any story attached to them.
Okay, I'm writing this down, and notice the labels that you put on the sensation. Does that mean, you mean like by conditioning I label things, or would I actually label things intentionally?
People talk about anxiety. Okay, but there's no such thing as anxiety. That's a word that's attached to a set of sensations that most people actually never even really attend to. So then it becomes a story. But if you say, well, now, where do you feel that in your body, and what does it feel like, and What? And pretty soon they're going, well, I don't know. It doesn't, it's kind of, I don't know. Right? So we want to get to the I don't know and move right on through to the other side.
Right,
okay?
Right.
So you're just watching the sensations. You're dropping the story as much as you can, obviously. So you're dropping
right.
the story. You're watching the sensations in the body. Watch how quickly the story wants to spin up about, oh, there's that, and that's that, and that means that, and that goes with that, and that's
oh,
because
sure.
of that. And we're just dropping all of that, right? And just trying to focus on the sensations and notice the labels that have been attached to those sensations. And then just sit with the sensations. Just watch how they move and what they do, and without any need to call them anything. So you just, that's your meditation. You're just sitting there breathing, and you're just noticing what's going on in the body without having to make it mean anything or have a label or a story or anything like that. So the way I phrase it is you're just sitting and breathing and relaxing and noticing.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
Okay? And then you'll call me back and tell me what you saw.
Yes. I can't believe I got to speak with you tonight after just spending so much time with you. It's a miracle. But I really appreciate all the wisdom that you've shared with me.
David, in the big bamboozle, we're heading, Michael can sort me out on this, but into the miracle section. So we expect miracles to be just abounding. They're as far as we can tell, they're just on extraordinary increase. Yeah.
Is this the book in which you're advocating for people to do voice recordings?
Oh, no. In all of them. But, no, this is just our latest one. It just talks about all of the ways the voices in the head bamboozle wow. us into believing and doing crazy stuff.
And so I'm just trying to understand what you were saying here at the last bit of this conversation, the thing about miracles and expecting miracles and
yeah, it's in the big bamboozle. So yeah,
okay,
just expect
so
miracles. You mentioned miracles. We're in a time of miracles.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the book on recording and listening is what you practice is what you have.
Uh-huh. And when you did the conversation I heard in the Insights at the Edge, you were really excited about the recording process.
Oh, it's going to transform everything. You stick with me, David. It'll change your life.
So you say
it'll put that fear so far behind you, you won't even remember what it looked like.
How do I stick with you then? Mm-hmm. Just by reading your materials and being on the phone with you?
Pardon me?
I said, how do I stick with you? By reading your materials?
Yes, yeah, yeah, just like this. Just like we are. Just like we are. We'll just keep getting together.
All right. I love it.
All right. Good. All right, take good care of yourself. Don't
That's
believe any voices, okay?
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, David. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, David. That was a great conversation, Sherry. Very illuminating.
Kind of, we covered the waterfront, didn't we?
Yes, you did. All of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yes, you are correct. It's moving into miracles.
Yeah.
Number 11, bamboozle number 11, content versus process.
Yeah, I just love that. Well, of course, you know, I've shared that philosophy before. The whole world just seems like a miracle to me. So I just love it that now as a Sangha, we're all looking at it together hopefully all experiencing it together. We in the meeting today, somebody who was in the meeting was saying that that she was really heartened by what we were talking about and by our focus and our continued focus, because she said, as somebody who lives out in the world right now doesn't seem a joyful place. And so when things seem like they're not as joyful as we wish they were for everyone, then to stay focused on those miracles that are always there, always in front of us, is more important than ever.
I agree.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Great. Sherry, we're going to hear from our coaching program now, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
The practice theme for this year is Anjali, emptying your teacup. As the Zen story teaches, when we're full of ego's preferences, opinions, likes, and dislikes, there is no room for the guidance and clarity of awareness. Through weekly coaching, regular commitments, and the practice of recording and listening, we train to empty our teacup and be open to life. Zen awareness coaches are trained by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching about life issues and awareness practice in general. We hear from new folks and old-timers alike that awareness coaching provides the support they need to deepen their practice. And since coaches donate a percentage of their fees, getting a coach assists in supporting practice. To request a Zen awareness coach, go to livingcompassion.org, click on the pink lotus, then programs to find Zen awareness coaches. Make 2016 the year of emptying your teacup and having the life your heart desires.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have more callers here, Sherry.
Good.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, are you there?
Yes, we are, and so are you.
I'm so
Who happy. Is this?
This is Lucinda from Lake Tahoe.
Well, how are you tonight?
I'm wonderful, thank you. I feel so fortunate to be on the phone. I wanted to say hello to Jen and Ashwani. I was at, and all my friends who were part of the There Is Nothing Wrong With You in June. That's when I was there, this past June.
Uh-huh.
And to report that a little experience with my practice, and then to ask you a question. So my experience
right.
was I committed to 5 minutes sitting a day. And
you're on kind of the other end of the continuum from David.
I practiced 5 minutes. And I prefaced that 5 minutes with a 5 minute period of gratitude, holding my heart, looking out the window, whatever I want to do.
Uh-huh.
And you know what happened? I did so well with 5 minutes. I thought, I think I'll do 10 minutes, and
uh-huh.
it fell apart.
Is that so?
Yes, it did.
And did it occur to you that maybe you should go back to 5?
Yes, it did.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I did go back to 5 minutes, and I'm very happy.
Uh-huh. Now, fell apart. Can you give us some details on how that extra 5
yeah.
minutes was the demise of the 5?
Yes. So what happened was I became, I eluded my commitment in various every bamboozle kind of way. I couldn't find the time. I felt pressure from my life. I, you know, this, that, or the other. And
So what I hear you saying is the voices in your head ramped up.
Yes.
And they convinced you. Would you say they made you too anxious? They made you too nervous? What was it about what they were saying that caused you to decide you had to not sit for 10 minutes?
Right. So my voices are slippery.
They're not your voices. I can never let anybody
okay.
get by with that. They are
yes.
they are marauders who have set up an encampment in your head.
Yes.
Okay. So
yes.
the voices.
Marauders. Yes, so the marauders are crafty. They're not loud
uh-huh.
and they're not loud and attention-getting in the way like a pop-up jester would be. They're more
mm-hmm.
like, you know, I've heard you talk about this. They're more like sensible, and it's okay if it's just 5 days a week and not 7 that I sit. And, you know, it making...
And 10 minutes really is a long time in a 24-hour period.
Yes, it's a long time. At this, if you're going to make it this time, it's too long because dinner's going to be ready in 7 minutes.
And you can't sit 3 minutes earlier than that, or you can't make it another time of the day. There's a very good reason for that as well, I'm guessing.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. Is there any part of you that got kind of ticked off that you're not allowed to do something that you want to do for 10 minutes in a day?
Well, you know, what I went into a blind following of the Marauders, and when I woke up, I had the thought, I'll do 5 minutes.
And I love that. When you woke up and came back to yourself, back to your senses, 5 minutes seemed like a really good idea.
Yes, that's what happened. Mm-hmm. I never had a time of talking about it. Like, oh, you missed it again. You're so bad. I never, or, boy, am I really, why don't I get 10 minutes? Why can't, you know, I never had
nothing.
That. No.
You just went sound asleep, and that was the end of it.
It's true.
Well, now that you're back, do you have a curiosity? Like, how would you do with 6 minutes?
Well, that's true. You know, I spent 40 years doing TM 20 minutes twice a day. And that was no problem. I mean, of course, sometimes I skipped or it was an issue with time. But this is... you know, so much more demanding.
Threatening to the Marauders.
Yes, it's very excruciating, or can be, I'll say can be, because sometimes it's just lovely. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, here's my encouragement to you, and that is that you stop thinking of it as meditation. And you begin to think of it as 10 minutes that you're going to sit down in gratitude and appreciation to enjoy the fact that you have a human incarnation.
Mm.
And you just sit there, keep your spine straight, okay? No teenage sprawling, but you sit there. And you just tune in to the human being and the body, the senses, the awareness, the attention. And you just enjoy for 10 minutes the experience of being alive. Feeling the breath move in the body. You know, body's expanding and contracting with each inhalation and exhalation. And you're just there, just enjoying and appreciating being alive. 10 minutes. Okay?
Yes.
And then do that for, say, a month, and then give me a call and let me know how you did.
Okay. That sounds lovely.
Yeah. Now, if you want to, do you have a recording and listening practice at this point?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So you could begin your practice with a couple of minutes of, you know, what I'm grateful for right now. And after, you could again record a couple of minutes of what I enjoyed about that. And then listen to those recordings, get on about your life until the next day and do the same thing.
Okay. Yeah. That I enjoy the, what was your favorite thing about today? I do that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's just sweet.
Yes,
and
there you go.
Go
ahead.
The picture on the cover of the CD, because I got the CD, with the little with the little panther or the little leopard.
yeah, the baby.
It's, so
yeah.
It's wonderful, wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so that kind of thing, right? That, and so that's the frame of mind that you want to, that you want to be in, right? Because all you're doing is appreciating and enjoying being alive as a human being. And then you'll let me know.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
I will.
Thank you. All right.
Thank
Take
you.
Care.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Lucinda. Another fun conversation, Sherry. It's great.
many ways to get here, huh?
Yes, there are. Yes, there are. And we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Esther from the Netherlands.
Hello, Esther. How
Hi.
Are things in the Netherlands?
oh, my gosh. good. Good and sometimes not so good. And
yes,
they,
well, you know what? That seems to be the case for almost everybody everywhere. So
yeah.
Don't take it personally, okay?
I'm practicing not taking things personally.
That's very, very good. It's good for all
I
of
really
us, isn't
am.
It?
Pardon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. That's a good practice for all of us because
yes.
There's nothing personal. So why should we try to make it seem as if there is? All right.
That's right. Oh,
mm-hmm.
I just... I'm practically choked on something that I was munching, and I heard that I was going to say something. So, this is why. Today I was listening to an archive of Open Air, and
uh-huh.
I have been working outside the whole day, which is... a first time in a long time because I've had all kinds of physical issues, and I was so delighted. And it dropped in that the time difference was a little bit different this time. So it dropped in, we'll call into Open Air tonight. It, you know, that it'll be a little bit easier. And the moment...
Because Esther, what time is it where you are right now?
It's 1:48 a.m.
Okay. Yeah.
So
nothing
I thought it was really. Uh-huh. I thought it was funny. I was like, okay, what difference is 1 hour? But anyway, I thought, okay, if that'll get me to call, I'll call.
Mm-hmm.
And the moment that I made that commitment to call, oh my gosh. You know, I was having a great day. I was really being aware of attending to my body, not to, you know, push any limits in a damaging way and all that stuff, and just enjoying the autumn.
Mm-hmm.
And that moment, it was like, oh, no, you know how it goes, all the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Are you crazy? You can't do that. What are you going to talk about? You have to have something. You don't have anything to talk about. Don't do that. Why
yeah,
are you
right.
going to do that? You don't need to
yeah.
do that. There's nothing going on. You don't need to. Yeah, I know. I've heard it. I've heard it somewhere. I don't know where, Esther, but somewhere I've heard something like that.
And since I'm also practicing that when the voices start, you know, when I pump up the volume, as you say,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, I really have to call.
Yes.
So that's what
yes.
I'm doing. I'm pushing or not pushing. I'm struggling for the right words. I've been a bit of a like a hermit in my own little surroundings here for a while,
mm-hmm.
and lately I'm trying to sort of come out of it. So I'm sometimes I'll attend things with other tiny little groups of people, which really sort of scare me. And what I was seeing was that now these little types of groups were one group I just attended was a form of sitting meditation. I thought, well, maybe that'll be good to be sitting also with people locally that are, you know, for real. Mm-hmm. And I do the virtual meditation groups too. And so I thought, oh, okay, I'll go. But what I noticed was, now, I've never been with Sangha live, okay, in person yet. Mm-hmm. Yet. Mm-hmm. But
yes,
my understanding of the now I can't think of the word. The environment.
Oh, the privileged environment.
Yes, thank you.
Uh-huh.
The privileged environment, somehow that seed has been planted into my system. So when I sit with these other people that, as far as I know, have never heard of, you know, this form.
Privileged environment.
Privileged environment. Yes, thank you. You know, I keep my eyes to myself. I don't go into any details and all that sort of stuff. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I have this feeling that everybody's looking at me right now. I'm supposed to say something, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'm saying this because I thought it was so special that I was like, oh my gosh, I've been, you know, in the background doing whatever I can from a distance. And evidently I'm feeling so part of the Sangha. And I thought that was great because, like so many of us, I also have this issue, oh, I don't belong, I'm different, and blah, blah, blah. So I was like, oh my goodness, how wonderful. And it helped me to make the distinction that, okay, this is their form, that's fine, I understand it, I, you know, with my head, but you know what, I really am more, didn't intend to do, but I'm fully experiencing, I think, the added value and the depth of that way of doing practice, even though I haven't done it with people that have heard of the word before, you know, as a live person.
Yeah. Yeah. So can I offer you a little coaching?
Sure.
Okay. So what's possible for us is to keep the privileged environment. So one of our old-time practitioners, part of our Sangha, is also a Catholic sister. And she talks about silence of the heart and silence of the mouth. Okay? So it's possible for us to be in silence in our hearts in the midst of anything, including conversation. So with the privileged environment, it's possible to be in the privileged environment in our hearts, even though we're in a situation where what we would choose from an attitude of loving kindness is to be speaking. And so if my encouragement for you to try, should you decide you want to sit with these folks again, is to find out what time you need to arrive to be able to sit and make sure you arrive at that time. And then you sit, and if they have a discussion or something, you can, you know, you can listen in and that sort of thing. You can keep custody of the eyes during that if you want to. I mean, that's, you know, a lot of people are kind of thoughtful and introspective as they keep their gaze downward, that sort of thing. And then when it's time to leave, you bow to them. They probably bow, right? If it's appropriate, you thank whoever, set up the space for this to happen, and you leave. And you got to be there with other folks who are sitting and enjoy that community. They had the pleasure of having somebody sit with them. We all know what a pleasure it is to have somebody sit with us. And you didn't feel the need to be social or get involved or engaged with people that actually the only relationship you want to have with, as far as you know, is sitting.
Yeah.
And so you can do that. What we can do is get so adept at that sort of thing that nobody ever, it doesn't even cross their mind that we're strange. Even though we know full well we are. But we can blend in such a way that nobody is uncomfortable. Nobody has to be self-conscious or have any thought of, being judged or criticized because, you know, we have a silent practice and they don't and they're social and we're not. And, you know, that war has come of that sort of thing. So mm-hmm. We just make sure that we keep the privileged environment inside our own mind and heart and then do our best to just be as present and kind and caring and loving as we can possibly be.
Mm-hmm. I think I get what you're saying. The thing is when I arrived there, everybody was talking.
Yes. And so you can just survive that first one.
Yeah.
And then find out what time to get there to sit.
Yeah, they weren't that clear on that one.
Because you'll figure it out, though. You will figure it out.
I'll ask if they really have a time that they start and that they actually start at the time that they say.
Yeah, and you know, Esther, you can say, you know, I'm not a terribly social person. And what I really enjoy is just the sitting.
Yeah.
What I'm really looking for is just folks to practice with. That's
yeah.
okay. That's not supremely weird.
Yeah.
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 But above all, you know, not to let the voices of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate grab the whole experience and turn it into something difficult or unpleasant. Basically designed to make sure that you don't go back and you conclude that you can't sit with other people and you have to be alone or whatever story they're going to tell. It's kind of what we started out with David. Okay, we go into these things and we watch the labels, we watch the stories that start spinning. You know, we're practicing just coming back here to the breath, just here, we're just here. That's what we're practicing. Right, and then the next set of whatever it is, you know, somebody looks at you and the voice in the head says, oh, well, they think you're blah, 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 whatever it is, and the story starts spinning, and we just yeah. notice that that's a story, and we drop that, and we just come back here, come back to the breath, just being here. We're just here.
Yeah.
Makes everything a workshop.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. That's very true.
Good. Well, thank you for getting up in the middle of your night to spend time with us. Very much appreciated.
No, thank you very much. I'm diligently saving towards making it possible to really be at a retreat. So I'm looking forward to the outcome of your strategic planning. So
I see.
Can plan.
Yeah, yeah. So we get those retreats on the schedule, huh? Yeah, and
yes.
You know, that's something that, as you know, we only open up retreats a short period of time ahead because what happens otherwise is that people say, oh, yeah, in October, it's January, and in October I want to do this, but then their whole world turns around before October and they change their minds and we've held a spot for them and, you know, like that. So we started just opening them up later. So that it's closer to and people know better what their calendars are like and that sort of thing. But when people are coming from halfway across the world, we can be a little more forthcoming about what the dates are. And so you can contact the registration office, the guest master, and if there's a particular time of year you'd like to come or you know you'd like to a particular retreat, then we can probably give you some extra information.
Oh, great.
Don't tell anybody I said that, though. I get in big trouble when I say those kinds of things. So don't.
Great.
No, don't say anything. Yeah. Don't say I said it.
I won't, but the reason I didn't register for the email class this time is because I didn't want to take from not being able to come next year, because I really want to do that.
Oh, good.
You know what
I'm
trying
good.
To say? So.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
yeah.
I would
all
have been
good.
Part of the email class, so I want to make sure that I can get there. But thank you
all
for
right.
the encouragement, and thank you for not telling me anything special.
Okay.
I won't tell anybody else. Okay, good night, and
good
till
night.
Another time. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Esther. Sherry, I didn't hear anything special either there, so I'm not going to say anything.
No. No. and of course, they're not listening, right? So they're not going to know. They're,
right.
The registry, you know, the guest master, they're not listening, so it should be. We should be fine. Yeah, I think we're all clear.
Great. Well, that was
all right.
And I'm super grateful for it, and I look forward to the next one.
Yeah, me too. Thank you very much, Michael. Take good care. Good night.
You too. Good night.